It is time for a visit with the Middleton grammarian, Catherine Childs. Catherine, last time we visited, we started a poem.
Yes.
We're going to do the second half. Okay.
Yep. We're finishing it up.
All right.
We started exploring the parts of speech prompted by a poem from the Analytical Grammar site, providing a quick definition and examples of each part of speech. We only got through the nouns and half of the pronouns.
Right.
So we're finishing this week. We talked about the 8 or more classification of pronouns. In general, pronouns rename a noun.
Mm-hmm.
We got through the personal pronouns, the one people think of when they think of pronouns. And some of those are...
He, she,
mm-hmm,
I.
Mm-hmm. And possessive pronouns.
Theirs, ours.
Mm-hmm. The rest of the list includes relative pronouns, interrogative pronouns, demonstrative pronouns, and reflexive and intensive pronouns. You never knew, did you?
No. I had no idea.
Trust me, you got a lot of company. Relative pronouns are used to connect a clause or phrase to a noun or pronoun, often when we need to add more information.
Whom, who, whomever, whoever.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay, so give me a sentence using a relative clause, which generally is in the middle of the sentence, beginning with who. We journalists do this all the time because we need to identify the people we're quoting as to their qualifications.
Okay. The candidate, who is a former councilman, announced he would run again.
Perfect. Exactly.
Okay.
So that's a relative clause
mm-hmm.
in the middle of your sentence.
Right.
And that's what they do. Add more information generally. In classifying pronouns, be careful not to confuse relative pronouns with interrogative pronouns. Confusion is understandable because the two lists are practically identical. So who, whom,
right.
which,
yeah.
all of that.
Right.
Okay. Interrogative pronouns do just what they say. They help us pose a question. Who do you love? Or the old bugaboo,
of course.
To whom shall I give my love? Okay, then there's demonstrative pronouns. Now, thinking of these, think about pointing at something. They take the place of a noun that's already been mentioned.
Oh, I thought I knew where I was going. I was going to say this or that.
Uh-huh.
Okay,
uh-huh.
okay.
And all but one begins with TH. Can you name the four that begin with TH?
This, that, those, them?
These. Yeah.
These, mm-hmm. right.
The last one of the...
Which? No.
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 Mm-mm.
I should have stopped along ahead.
Because you don't say which when you point, I guess. I don't know.
Nothing. That made me think I know, but I probably don't. Okay, go ahead.
The last one of these demonstrative pronouns is such.
You
knew it.
Well, I didn't until you said which and pointing.
Oh.
And somehow that clicked, but I wasn't going to say it because I whiffed earlier.
A sentence might be, such was the plight
right.
in life. I don't use that construction much, but I understand it.
Yeah.
The final two pronoun classifications are intensive and reflexive. They both deal with the self words, such as myself, themselves, and itself. We did a thing
mm-hmm.
on this a
mm-hmm.
while back. Intensive pronouns emphasize or intensify nouns and pronouns. I myself would not go back to high school even if I could.
Right.
Unlike intent...
Isn't that superfluous, though? Couldn't you just say,
I
wouldn't go?
It is.
Okay.
And that's what shows the difference between intensive pronouns and reflexive pronouns, because they're the same words, the exact same words.
Uh-huh.
Unlike intensive pronouns, which are not necessary for a sentence to make sense, I wouldn't go back to high school if I could.
Right.
Reflexive pronouns are essential. They're used when the subject or the object of a sentence refer to the same person or thing. I told myself, can't do without myself.
No,
there.
I told
myself not to make those brownies so late at night.
Right.
So that's reflexive. Okay, now we're going back to, we're out of pronouns, finally. We're going back to the other parts of speech in the poem. I'm going to read the stanzas, leaving out the part of speech. You fill it in.
Okay.
The blank describes a thing as magic wand or bridal ring.
An adjective.
Hmm?
Yeah.
Right.
I thought it was going to, okay.
Thought it was going to be harder than
yeah.
that, huh? And there are classification of adjectives, but we're not going to go into that. Here's another. The blank means action, something done, as read and write and jump and run.
Verb.
Verbs. action verbs, yes. We've talked before about classification of verbs. Transitive and intransitive classifications can help guide us to whether, for instance, we should use lie or lay.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. And recognizing and linking verbs helps us avoid the this is her error.
Exactly.
This is she, right. Okay, the next part of speech. How things are done, the blank tells, as quickly, slowly, badly, well.
Adverb.
Mm-hmm. I sometimes say I refuse to discuss the difference between adjective and adverb, and I did resort to lumping them under modifier when I taught. For students who have trouble picking out subjects and verbs, I didn't immediately launch into adjectives and adverbs. But, of course, they are very different. It's the difference between I found your sister easily, or I found your sister easy.
Yeah, yeah.
big difference. This part of speech is one that stumps a lot of people. In fact, I often see your eyes glaze over when I bring it up. Preposition.
Mm-hmm.
One definition of preposition I've used for years is that it's anywhere a squirrel can go.
Yeah.
Can you name some of those?
Over, up, under, mm-hmm, in, out. Mm-hmm. In seventh grade, Mrs. Hackler taught us about preposition mountain. Where could you be on the mountain?
Oh.
And odds are that was a preposition.
So behind would be
mm-hmm
there. Uh-huh. So
above.
That's good. They should really make it spatial.
Yeah.
Of course, they also include of, at,
right,
for, and with, but and perhaps many others. If you're a charade player, it's usually the little word, right?
Right.
Kyle, even those who don't understand the next part of speech will recognize it because it's because of a catchy tune. Blanks join, in many ways, sentences, words, or phrase and phrase.
Conjunctions.
Uh-huh.
What's your function?
Yes, that's right. And that tune comes from what?
Schoolhouse Rock,
yep,
written by a native Arkansan.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. The coordinating conjunctions can be remembered with a mnemonic, fanboys. For, and, nor, but, or, yet, so.
Right.
It's important to know these because they're the only ones that grammatically connect words, phrases, and clauses in a sentence. Otherwise, comma splices and run-on sentences result. Finally, as a journalist, I'd like to leave off the last part of speech, but here goes. The blank cries out, hark, I need an exclamation mark.
This is the one that I didn't get
mm-hmm
last time, interjection.
Right. And as we discussed recently, why don't reporters like interjections or use
because
interjections?
Because it assigns a judgment that a reporter shouldn't make.
Mm-hmm. That you're
that tempers,
putting words,
yes,
more or less, in,
yes,
in the person's, even if they're not spoken.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. Catherine Sherald is our militant grammarian.